Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
That makes me feel like wanting to dance, you know? Of course, I don't want to quench the spirit this early. 60 years ago, there was a character in the funny papers, and he was named Joe Bitzflick. Anybody remember that? Joe Bitzflick. 60 years ago, I used to read about him in the funny papers. And Joe Bitzflick had a dark cloud over his head all the time. It followed him everywhere, and every once in a while, it would rain on him. No matter where he went, when he went in for lunch, dark cloud, a little bit of rain. He'd go outside, dark cloud, a little bit of rain. Anywhere he went, no matter who he went with, dark cloud, a little bit of rain. Joe Bitzflick, what a man. Now, more contemporary, there's Broomhilda. And Broomhilda usually has a cloud appear over her head, and the lightning strikes her every so often, and she seems to love it. There's Broomhilda, walking along, dark cloud, thunder, lightning, boom, and she kind of gets a great, exciting lift out of that. Some people just walk under a dark cloud, and some people really enjoy it. And then, of course, my favorite character, and he's a good guy. There's nothing wrong with him, Eeyore. I love Eeyore. He's so sweet. He's cuddly. He's nice. But he just seems to lack a sense of enthusiasm. How are you? I'm fine. You having a good day? Yes. Have you got friends? Lots. Wonderful guy, just fantastic, but he never seems to have any real enthusiasm. It's just one of those things. Well, have you ever heard it said that all good things must come to an end? Well, the Bible says all bad things will come to an end. And so, I'm going to turn to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. These are my favorite scriptures. And I think this might be the first time I've ever referred to them. Verse 11. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in the land. When's the last time you said, enough is enough? Or I've had it. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Or where's God when I need him? I prayed and it didn't work. I hear that all the time from people. One of my favorite characters in literature, and not real serious literature, but really comic book literature, that's my best kind, is the Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger's fantastic. He's always rescuing people. And he saves people when the bank is being robbed. He helps widows who are alone in the prairie, and he saves them from being abused and beaten up. He saves everybody. He's just wonderful, that Lone Ranger. And you know what they all say? Who was that masked man? Nobody knows who he was. All that he did, nobody, absolutely nobody, knows who he is or who he was. Have you ever got to the place where you said, well, enough is enough? Isn't it about time? God did something? The real question is, why don't you do something about it? God already has. He's the masked man you failed to recognize. Why did God allow me to get in a car accident on the way to church? The lady said, and it's a true story. And so I said, were you speeding? She said, yes. I said, were you hurt? She said, no. I said, well, God made sure you got away unharmed. He rescued you from injury. Besides, he's not responsible for the accident because he drives better than that. And then I've heard this many times over the years. My husband doesn't love me, or my wife doesn't love me. Well, do something about it. Don't divorce him. That'll just lead you to another battle. There was a famous socialite who married a politician, and everything seemed perfect. Wealth, fame, fortune, popular in society. And she finally contacted a lawyer and said, you know what? It's all a farce. It's all a show. It's all a charade to try to make people think that everything is just wonderful. And she said, it's really not. And I want not only to divorce him, but I want to make him suffer. I want to hurt him deeply. So the lawyer said, well, you want him to suffer. Well, here's what you do. You take some time and treat him like a king. Treat him like you love him. Treat him like you really mean it. And then when he buys that, slam him with divorce papers. So she went off, and a year later, she hadn't showed up. And he said, what happened? He said, what do you mean? Well, I thought you were going to get a divorce. She said, well, look. She said, I started treating him like a king, and he started treating me like a queen. She said, he's wonderful. He's incredible. Treat someone like you love them, and eventually you will. You know that? If you treat someone like you love them, eventually you will. That's just the way it works. You can't let go of your anger, eh? Is that one of your problems? You can't let go of your anger? But letting go of anger is like catching a monkey. In India, they catch monkeys by taking a jar with a small opening, and the monkey puts his hand in the jar to get the peanuts, and when he closes his fist, he can't get his fist out. He can't let his fist out. And because he's so greedy, he won't unclench his fist. Therefore, he's trapped. But all he had to do was open his hand, take out his hand, and dump the thing over, and he'd have all the peanuts there was. Listen, you have to let go of your anger, and you can't do it if you have a clenched fist. You got to drop it. You got to let it go. You can do that. You can do that. If you let your anger go, as a doctor, I can tell you, your blood pressure will improve. Your attitude will improve. Your health will improve. Remember, it's not what you eat. It's what eats you. Okay? Remember, as a Christian, you are the salt of the earth. The Bible says that. As a Christian, you are the salt of the earth.
And what does salt do? Well, salt preserves. Salt creates a thirst. Salt gives flavor to food. I read a book entitled, and some of you might have, it was entitled Out of the Shaker into the World. And most of us keep salt in a shaker. But sometimes you have to shake the shaker before the salt comes out. And sometimes God shakes us so we can offer people the hope they need to carry on. We must remind people there's a happily ever after, but there's also a peace and joy for everyone in this life now. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and I will give you rest even unto your souls. That's not for heaven. What do you need it there for? It'll be there. It's for now. Stop struggling and let go and let God take over your life. Remember, whenever you make a mistake on a blackboard, the best thing you do is erase it. And whenever we sin or make a mistake or do something we know we shouldn't have, all we have to do is confess it. That erases it. God has already erased it from his memory when you receive Christ. But when you confess and he erases it from your memory. Do you understand? Some of the great mistakes we make is some of the things we leave out in even our sentences. And this is a true story. This man had gone on a fishing trip, and he had a wonderful time with one of his buddies. And he was so excited, he wrote his wife a text message, but he left out one little letter. And it got him in all kinds of trouble, and he couldn't understand what was wrong. The message went like this. This is a great fishing trip. I just absolutely am enjoying it. We're having great fellowship. He said, in the morning, the sun comes up and it just paints the surface of the lake. He said, and the fish just kind of swirl around and create their own images like pictures reflected in a mirror. And he said, the birds chirp in harmony. It's just absolutely wonderful. And they said, at night, we go out on a full moon and the lake is like glass. He said, and we just see it mirrored, and we hear the soft sound of fish moving against the shore. He said, this is one of the most exciting days and times of my life. I wish you were her. Well, he couldn't understand what the fuss was all about. Listen, we all make crazy mistakes, but listen, just deal with it. Winston Churchill said, the key to success is to move from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm. Okay? I want to read you something. It's called A Lesson in the Heart. A Lesson in Heart is my little 10-year-old daughter, Sarah, who was born with a muscle missing in her foot and wears a brace all the time. She came home one beautiful spring day to tell me she had competed in field day, where they have lots of races and other competitive sports. Because of her leg support, my mind raced as I tried to think of words to encourage Sarah. Things I could say to her about not letting her injury get her down. Things I've heard many famous coaches tell the players when they face defeat. But before I could get her word out, she looked up and said, Daddy, I won two of the races. I couldn't believe it when Sarah said, I had an advantage. I knew it. I thought she must have been given a head start, some kind of physical advantage. But again, before I could say anything, she said, Daddy, I didn't get a head start. My advantage was I had to try harder. Listen. Remember, you do what you can do and God will do what you can't. It's not a mystery. All religions believe in God. But to them, he's the masked man. They don't know who he is. The advantage we as Christians have is very clear. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know what's interesting? He also said, a few verses down, when Philip said, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. You know the masked man. You know the God of heaven. You know who he is. People don't. Religion doesn't. And they're thanking a masked man they don't know. But you know the masked man. And you can share Christ with people. You see, there's nothing that moves people with the simplicity and the complete dedication and awesomeness of a pure and holy God who came to us not as a mighty warrior to conquer nations, but as a child to be held in his mother's arms.
Nothing is more magnificent than a God who doesn't portray himself as some great knight in shining armor, but as a lamb. But rest assured, he's a lion. He's a conqueror. He's a King of kings and Lord of lords. And you know what his name is? Jesus. Listen, there is no sweeter melody in the world than the simple words, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Now, I could go on for 20 minutes, and we're 20 minutes early, but do you want to go home? How many want to go home? Keep going. Keep going? You want me to keep going, really? Are you serious? Okay. I've learned over a long time ago, I like to debate. I like to think that I'm Mr. Smart, until I met a wife that's smarter than me, and I'm not kidding. It's interesting. You know, Jesus chooses the weak things to confound the wise. I was born 6 weeks premature. I weighed just a little over 3 pounds. I was in an incubator for 6 weeks. In those days, they didn't have the things they have now. I didn't have any human touch. No human touched me for 6 weeks after I was born. They wore gloves in an incubator. My mother never touched me for 6 weeks. And when they sent me home in a cigar box, which was put on the top of a wood stove for warmth. I never had the opportunity to be breastfed. My mother wasn't able to do that. And you know what's interesting? Many times they didn't think I was going to live, but God had a plan. He said, I'm going to take that little character, that little ragamuffin, I'm going to take that little monster, and I'm going to do something with him that will surprise even him, and it has. I am absolutely amazed that God loves me and would save me, and I'm absolutely shocked that he would call me into the ministry. But he did, and I realize that he chooses the foolish things to confound the wise and the weak things instead of the strong. I spoke at a funeral yesterday, and the man that died had been an invalid all his life. He literally had been sick all of his life. And when they made arrangements for the funeral, they said there would only be 30 people at the funeral. And so Tim at Riverside set up 30 chairs in an off chapel. And when the funeral started, there were over 250 people who came. And his stepson came up and said, I loved him. And person after person, row after row, all crying at one time, we gave it a whole box of Kleenex. And they were crying because they were going to miss him. I said this, listen, it's not the end. He's not at the finish line. For a believer who trusted Christ, he's at the starting line. It's not over for you. If it was over, you'd be dead. It's not over for you. God takes the foolish things and even the doting old men. I get lost in a phone booth. The reason I write these things down is because I want to make sure that I don't go on and on and on and on. I can speak for 2 hours. Yeah. Well, God says, no, we don't want people to suffer like that. But looking at these people, they looked at me and thought, they thought it was over. Well, listen, I said, I can't make a statement about what went on in this man's life, whether he trusted Christ or didn't. I said, I can't say he did or he didn't. But he did sure leave a mark in your life, and he made a difference to all of you. I said, and you loved him, and he made a difference, and he was a gift. He was a gift to all of you. So you begin to appreciate you have what he never had, a good health, dreams, climbing mountains, swimming in pools, all these things you take for granted, a life without pain. He's at the starting line. Then I said the thing that really got attention, and you've heard me say this many times, do you know the only thing that you need to qualify for heaven is to be a sinner, and I know every one of you qualifies, and they all go, and they get this look, how did you know?
And I said, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if you're not a sinner, you're not going to heaven. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But what? The Bible says all of your righteousness is as filthy rags before God. The good things that you do. Well, they're important. God knows that. God understands that. God understands that good things are important. He takes that into consideration. Hey, this guy was a good guy and it made a difference in a lot of lives. And the good things you do don't get you to heaven, but they sure get you a lot of friends. Listen, as the salt of the earth, you can make this life more palatable for someone else. You can offer them a hope that they didn't know was there. I've studied world religions fairly thoroughly over 50 years. And there is no other religion that offers you a savior. They offer you a plan. God not only committed himself to you, he gave himself to you as a gift. Now, I've never been in a situation where if somebody offered me a gift where I said, I'm not taking it. I might say I don't deserve it, but if you deserved it, it wouldn't be a gift. You earned it. So, when God offered me a gift, I don't deserve it, but I received it. Why don't you be the gift that somebody received? Because inside that package of your life is Jesus Christ. You can package anything up, but what makes a package valuable is what's inside. And what makes your life valuable is Jesus Christ inside. And so what happens is God puts you in a position where people will test you, test your patience, test your love, and they'll poke you. And you'll either poke back. The toughest fight I ever had was a guy who just got out of prison. I didn't know he got out of prison. I was still in high school, and I was a little banty rooster. I could lick anybody, and if I couldn't beat him up, I could outrun him. So I figured this guy, I mean, there he is, I'll fix him. And we got up there, and my uncle had told me that he had beat this fella up. And my uncle was just a little twerp, smaller than me. And I said, if my uncle can beat him up, he gets smart with me, I'll fix him. And he got smart with me, and I wound up, and I drilled him right in the chin with everything I had. And he looked at me and smiled. He played me like a piano. I mean, my ribs were sore for 2 weeks. And then I found out that he liked my uncle and was just playing with him and having fun. People are waiting for you to demonstrate that you're not just clenched fist, that you're willing not to mug, but to hug. So it's easy to fight. Hey, come on, man. You want to see the banty rooster? You're looking at him. Oh, sorry. I woke that one up. I am praying for you, and I do. When I know I'm going to speak, I ask the Lord what the Holy Spirit wants to say. I don't know. Most preachers like to ride their hobby horse and give you their favorite topic and show you what they know. But I really don't know what this congregation needs. The Holy Spirit knows, and I just say, Lord, help me, and he does. So next time you need help, you know who the masked man is. I remember, I'm not afraid of water now, but I used to be. And when I lived in Windsor, I used to go to Leamington. And in Leamington, they had this pier that went out into the lake, and the water was really muddy and really dirty. So I jumped off the pier and went straight down, down, down. It was really deep, down, down. And when I hit the bottom, I tried to turn around, and it was so muddy, I didn't know what direction was up. And I still don't. And what's funny is I thought, I might be swimming parallel to the ground. I didn't know if I was going back down. So finally, I gave up and just relaxed. And when I relaxed, I floated to the top. Just relax. Don't struggle. You can't see what direction you're going. Maybe you're struggling. Just relax. Just rest. And you'll float above the circumstances. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this wonderful time together. We thank you for our wonderful pastor. We pray you would keep him safe. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless this congregation. We thank you for all the gifts you've given us. Those gifts are represented by this congregation, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.